He who began a good work in you will continue it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. We meditate today on two verses from John chapter 15, printed in the worship folder on page 7. Jesus says, "When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." The word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. In the name of him who is the answer to everything, our Lord Jesus Christ, dear confirmands and loved ones all. Do you realize what a miracle is happening today? The older I get, the more I appreciate the miracle of faith. And you confirmands, many of you I've known since you were very small, maybe even baptized a few. And the miracle of faith impresses me more and more over the years, partly because the world around us would just look at all this and say, what's the big deal? University professors try to convince their students that you just believe because your parents believed. And yet you and I know that you have invested countless hours to investigate the Christian faith, to see whether what your parents and Sunday school teachers and pastors have taught you all these years is really true, and also to examine Luther's small catechism in the light of God's word, to see if it passes the test. And here you are, ready, prepared, to stand before God and his people today and confess something that the world would just find impossible to say. You are willing, according to the scripture, to confess absolute sinfulness, that you deserve nothing but damnation from God Almighty. But you're not terrified by that thought anymore because you know your Lord Jesus. You trust, as you have told year after year at Christmas time, the whole story of God the Father sending his Son to be not just the world's Savior, but your Savior, so that you trust in him for forgiveness, for the answers to your questions, and the comfort and grace to just deal with those that he doesn't always answer in the scripture, but with wisdom and grace, and to trust that the Lord Jesus is with you day after day, all the way home to eternity. It's not just your parents' faith. It's your faith. And those of us who love you are here with you this day to hear God's word for us too, to be reminded of the promises that we all made, and to hear God's word of grace and call you and encourage you to this task, this most important task now that lies ahead of you, that you've been preparing for. Now it's time. Time to testify. In his letter to the Romans toward the end, the Lord's Apostle Paul was inspired to write these words. "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." And you know why Jesus' disciples needed hope on that command Thursday, Maundy Thursday, right? They were about to see their Lord Jesus, that they believed was the Messiah, be arrested, flogged, or at least hear about it because they fled. They were at that point where Jesus knew they had failed every quiz, and now they were coming to the big test. They weren't watching and praying as he told them. They weren't taking his warning seriously. And they would need hope when they finally came to their senses and realized that, sure enough, they forsook him and fled, and he would come and call them back. But these precious words that Jesus speaks, it's John 13 all the way through John 17. He says in the upper room and then on his way out to Gethsemane to comfort his disciples and give them hope so that when their time to testify came, they would be able. So many kids your age are all worried about who's popular. And you know that you have a friend who will always come in when everybody else is going out. It's the one Jesus talks about here. He calls him the counselor. Sometimes we translate the comforter. The one who not only gives wisdom to know how to deal with things in real life, but also lifts you up when you just feel like, who can love me? I can't love myself. When you've disappointed yourself and your God, when you look at your sins and you cringe. The counselor, the comforter, comes not from a distance. He comes as the one who stands beside you with an arm across your shoulders, your best and truest friend. Not like some who will leave when they're disappointed or, worse yet, get in your face about something. But right there beside you to comfort, console you, and encourage you. And you have that confidence that the Holy Spirit is coming, because Jesus says, when the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, Father and Son guarantee, he's coming. I remember trying to talk to a college professor one time to share my faith. You know, it was my time to testify. She gave me that condescending, wilting look and said, "That's good for you." Some of the smartest people want to make sure you know they don't believe what you believe. They're the ones that are absolutely sure they're the original thinkers. They've got all these original thoughts nobody ever thought of before. How disappointing would it be that you'd have to take them back to Pilate at the time of Jesus asking the same question, "What is truth?" And you know the answer because you've examined it very carefully and continue to examine it. Now that it's time to testify, you're being guided by the Spirit. In fact, you know that as they think so much about their original thoughts, aren't they just doing what all of us would do by nature and fall into that sin that Eve committed in the garden when she let Satan convince her that she knew better than God, she knew better than God's word? We would all fall that way if it weren't for our gracious Lord Jesus and this loving promise. I hear your promises today, my dear brothers and sister in Christ, Jesus says. But I'm going to be there for you. You will never be alone. My Holy Spirit will be there to counsel, to comfort you, and to lead you into all truth. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. You come to the Father through me." Tremendous blessing when the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father. He will testify about me. You all have confirmation verses that testify to that truth. You've learned that truth from childhood, and you've become convinced that your Sunday school teachers did tell you God's truth. And you want to testify to that. So we're giving you Bible passages that will help you understand. And I'm remembering how your names sometimes are helpful. I think, Grant, I don't know if you were named after a president, but you have that certain something that maybe could be, but I think of that because you're the only confirmand I ever know when asked, what should your confirmation verse be? You wanted a whole psalm. And I can tell you, Grant, that if you memorize Psalm 121, you own as much of God's word as you carry around in your heart. And God will grant you more blessings from that psalm too. But all this study and all this effort will make you tired and weary. And so your official confirmation verse is one you'll go back to again and again, as I do that passage too. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Time to testify, guided by the Spirit, in strength. My confirmation happened on May 30th, 1971. Almost 10 years to the day before God let me marry my college sweetheart, the mother of my children. And I'm glad as I look back that I did not know all the trials and tribulations that were waiting in the years in between. But I can tell you, as parents and grandparents love to tell you, God is faithful. Jesus keeps his promises. He kept on sending his dear Holy Spirit to comfort, console, and strengthen me through pastors and professors in our Lutheran schools and through the parents and grandparents of my classmates. Bethany, you've heard that four of my classmates in my class of 24 were grandsons and granddaughter of your great-great-grandma Rose Rabenberg. So I will always, when I remember your name, Bethany Rose, think of the first Iron Lady that I ever knew, and think back on those bright spots in my life at the time with my adopted grandma, who just had that faith and that determination that everyone could see. And it's so much there in your beautiful confirmation verse because she lived her life like that. Grandma Rose, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. That was said to exiles in Babylon when everything fell apart and the letter from Jeremiah lifted their hopes, gave them strength. Just one story. You can't pass up Grandma Rose without a story. It was 45 miles into Wolf Point, Montana from her son John's farm, only 10 of it paved at the time. Grandma Rose would not be late to church, but we were late getting away from the house. So we hurried through the early barbed wire gates. You get out, open them, drive through, and then started on the gravel roads to hit the cattle guards. That's just a grate that the car can drive over, but the cattle can't walk over. And she put the pedal to the metal. I was in the back seat of this old Galaxy 500. I just remember we hit one of those cattle guards and the angle must have been up. I'm not sure, but I think we were airborne. Because I was scrunched up against the ceiling and back, and I remember looking up in front and there's Grandma Rose hunched up over the steering wheel. And the car comes down, kalunk. Didn't bat an eye. All she said was, I knew that was there somewhere. On we went. Got to church on time. Please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying you should drive like that. But her determination, her courage, that strength, it's part of your heritage in the Lord. He has plans for you. And they're all good. Plans to testify, that you testify, guided by the Spirit and accompanied always, because Jesus rose. Christ is with you. Adam Jeffrey Knoss, Do you know that you're named after a president? He's rolling through the president. Don't expect anybody to get too impressed. Jeffrey Canas, your father, is the president of New Life Evangelical Lutheran Church in Shoreview, Minnesota. Like the world around us, who would be impressed? The world around us tends to think that small things just aren't that impressive. Kind of like those nations waiting in the promised land when General Joshua comes with all these nomads out of the desert and they're going to conquer all these people. And Joshua, not knowing, they will all gang up on the Israelites. And so the Lord gave Joshua a promise that reminds us all not to despise the little things. You can honor your father. The Lord said to Joshua, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Time to testify, accompanied by Christ. Why are you smiling, Ethan? We've got three down and one left. Ethan. What will you chase in life? What will chase you? Just a story coming out of history. You know how I love those. A British commander of a warship named Thomas Watts was once chased by a tiger in India. It's a true story. He ran into a river to escape the tiger, looked behind him, and the tiger was following. Thomas Watts turned around and grabbed the tiger by the head and held it underwater until it drowned. That kind of courage passed down through his family so that his son, Isaac Watts Sr., was able to endure terrible persecution, religious persecution in England, imprisonment, while his first son was born. He was actually somewhat malformed, that little boy, because of the stress on the mother while her husband was in prison. It was Isaac Watts Jr. The same strength enabled him to write, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Our God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride." And 600 other hymns. Ethan, my hope and prayer for you is that you will be busy chasing those things of God. The things that are so important that in the very last words that the Holy Spirit inspired to Peter in his second letter, the last words he wrote down for the people of God, your precious verse, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." We need to all keep on growing. We can't stop where we are. Try to stop in this sinful world and the lion from hell will catch up and try to drag us back into that muddy river of sin and self. But chase the things of God. Look to him as God calls all of us to do in this passage. And you find your whole life is a reversal on what it would otherwise be. Because Christ is risen. He who died, rose again, and lives for you. I am to testify, accompanied by that Christ. Be regular, firm, faithful in your worship, dear brothers and sister in Christ, all. Be faithful. Because each time a service starts, you'll be reminded of your baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Confess your sins together. Receive absolution from the pastor as from God himself, and know that your sins are forgiven in heaven. As often as you eat that bread and drink that cup of the new covenant, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You're testifying. you can return always in peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding, that will guard your heart and mind through faith in Christ Jesus. Never alone. Time to testify. Grace be with you. Amen.